Hello and welcome to our live on Twitch episode of Meeple Skills. This is episode 7 of Meeple Skills. Meeple Skills is the only podcast that has to re-record live episodes.
It's true. Actually, I don't think we're the only one that's ever had to do that. I'm pretty certain other podcasts have had to do it as well.
Are you sure?
Well, maybe not on the Project Nerd Network, because the other podcasts are more professional, but I mean, I'm sure in the history of ever, others have had to do it.
If you say so.
I don't know.
My name is Ethan. I'm here with my lovely, beautiful co-hosts.
Jackie!
And Alyssa.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My very self-conscious co-hosts.
Low-key today.
Low-key. So, alright, story time. We actually recorded this episode at Omaha Ocon Expo. What was that? A few weekends ago, end of June.
Yeah.
And got back, and the audio was garbage. So we decided that we still wanted to do it as a live episode. So we're here on Twitch doing it as a live episode.
And the advantage to doing it this way is that Alyssa wasn't able to join us in Omaha for that one. So now we have the whole band back together.
The band's back together.
Yeah! The band's back together.
All right.
Can I be the drummer?
No.
Oh.
You have no rhythm.
That's also true.
That's my job.
So if you're joining us, thank you so much. If it's just us in the Twitch channel, well, neat.
I'm my favorite. Such is life.
We know. So today we are going to talk about travel games. Games that are easy to travel with, have a lack of bits and pieces, can be played in small spaces, are a convenient size for transport, and have great replayability value.
And of course this was inspired because we were originally doing this at a convention. And our thoughts were that, hey, you're at a convention. What are games that you could play while at a convention, whether it be at the convention itself or at the hotel room after the convention day is over?
That's right.
Makes sense.
Yep. So we have put together for you 3 lovely games that we think are absolutely perfect for traveling.
Yes, those games are Epic by White Wizard Games. We're just going to start there. We'll go through the list later, like as we go, you know? So, yes. Epic by White Wizard Games is for 2 to question mark people. It's a question mark. It says question mark on the frickin' notes.
Oh, it does, because technically if you add in all of the expansions, you could have up to, like, 8 to 10 people. Really.
Oh, no.
Exactly. So, like, I ain't frickin' lying to you. It's what it says on the thing I was told to read out loud.
I'm sorry, that was my bad. I forgot that you put them all together.
God, okay.
Anyway.
It's a question mark because you add more people if you purchase more sets. What'd you say, Alyssa?
I said, wow, we eat product placement. White's very, very good at it.
I'm Vanna White.
Ah, right. I'm just going to take these headphones off because they're not doing anything for me. So.
Gotcha.
And my ears are sweaty.
Ooh.
Mom's spaghetti. Okay. So it is an LCG, as my wife writes, a living card game. It is a living card game, and is heavily based on Magic the Gathering. So, the idea behind the game is that players will be able to get the feeling of an epic play or combo that you get in most collectible card games. On each turn, a player gets an imaginary coin that can be spent on casting a card. Cards all cost 0 or 1 coin, so you have a coin that can be spent on another player's turn, but only once in the round. So if you're playing a multiplayer, like 4-player game, you get 1 coin until it's your turn again, and if you spend it, you don't get it back on the other player's turns. You just get your 1. There are a ton of modes of play of this game. You can play a draft by taking 10 cards and handing them to each player, pick and pass until everyone has 10, then repeat that 3 times. There's also 2 versions of constructed decks to play. Each set has 4 color choices, and you can play just 1 color as a deck, or there are suggested pre-con decks of 60 you can create. Most decks are 30 cards, so if you want the large pre-constructed deck, you'll need 3 copies of the game. There are a ton of expansions, and it's pretty affordable overall. We knew it existed, but we picked up this game at Gen Con last year and got all of the expansions, and then finally decided to go ahead and get the 3 other sets, or the 2 other sets, rather, at Origins this year. So, yeah. Epic is... I love card games, so it's already one of my favorites for that. But, Jackie, what are your thoughts on Epic?
It is, of course, an awesome game. I absolutely love White Wizard games, which I'm pretty sure has come up before in both the podcast and a previous live stream. I have kind of an unhealthy obsession with that company, actually. Epic is the only LCG they have. The other card games they have are all deck builders. But yes, as you mentioned, it's got a bunch of different modes of play. It has a lot of replayability because you can draw different cards each time, and you can also reconstruct the decks in many different ways. They also are continuously making more types of the game. They can make more little packs. In fact, one of their expansions, I guess you could call it, are the Pantheon packs. And those give you different gods that you play as, and that's one of the 60-card pre-constructed decks that you can make. I'm currently holding this giant box of Epic, and this is actually 2 of the main-sized boxes. And then, of course, all of the expansions are in here, and that's why you have the bigger box. But you can fit a 2-person or a 2-player pre-constructed everything collection of Epic into this box. So it's not too bad, but it is a little bigger. As far as travel goes, you definitely probably want to stick to the base set, as this is all the bigger the base set is. This is just tiny. It's about 3x2, maybe. Easily could fit in your purse. And as Ethan mentioned, it's also very affordable. It's like $12 or something. Oh, that's so even if you damaged all the cards, like, you could just buy a new one.
Right. That's not bad at all.
What do you think, Alyssa?
If it's like Magic, I'll probably play it. I say that like I play Magic often. I don't. But of like the of trading card type games, that's the one I like more than the others. I will say the art on these is actually kind of interesting, which of course is aesthetics is the best way to judge how good a game is. Just saying. But I like I also is are the mechanics more simple or are they.
They're definitely more simplified.
More simple? Okay.
Because there's definitely that one coin system. You never have to worry about mana. Have a mana system that you have to deal with. You play either one card worth 1 coin or you play a card worth 0 coins, which there are. They will tell you whether or not you can play that card on other players' turns.
Oh, okay.
And so you kind of have to watch for that. But the idea behind the game is that, you know, those really epic plays from Magic, you know, the ones where it's like, that was an amazing combo. This game is trying to emulate that feeling for every single play.
Oh, goodness.
So everything is big, but it's still really well balanced because everything is big.
Right, so it's not like there's one particular color or one particular play style that is overly... I mean, I'm sure there are cheesy mechanics, there always are, but there's one particular playstyle that's going to dominate exclusively.
Exactly.
That's neat.
And, like, I think the one that always sticks in my mind is, in green, you can play a card that is King Kong.
That's dope.
Yeah, and he is huge, and he does, like, 8 damage when he hits the field, and he lets you draw cards. There are 3 things that card lets you do, and if you can start off the game playing King Kong, like... you are ahead for quite a while.
Nice.
Now, you can still be defeated, even if you have the green card and you get to play King Kong right away.
Mm-hmm.
The yellow deck, of course, is a life gain deck, just like in Magic. But when you gain life, you gain, like, a lot of life.
Right.
It's not like, you get 2 back. It's like, oh, you played an angel. Your whole battlefield is healed. Have fun!
Oh, that sounds annoying.
It can be.
Yeah, and it makes the game very swingy either way, so... someone's in the lead, then someone else is in the lead, then that person's back in the lead, and you go back and forth like that. The other thing, too, as far as the mechanics go, is that it's literally, like, identical to Magic. They just use different words for things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are some things that are different, but, like, one of the key things is tribute. And I believe that one's just an enter the battle. Like, once it enters the battlefield, something happens.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, like, that's... So that's an easy thing to kind of get, and, like, I forget what they call haste, but...
Yeah, that's the thing, is we have to sit there whenever we play it with the rulebook open.
Right.
To be like, okay, what does that one mean? Because, like, to me, tribute always sounds like I have to sacrifice something to play it.
That, I mean, the idea makes sense. I can see why you would think that makes sense.
It's like, that's what I always want to go to, but that's absolutely incorrect.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm. Ethan, any other thoughts on Epic?
I like it. But, more importantly, we need to talk about, 1 out of 10, do we like it? Jackie.
It is definitely an 8 for me. I love this game. I can definitely pull it out and play it at just about any time. Any of my friends that are into deck builders or Magic the Gathering, I can definitely teach it to them very quickly, and we can play a game very quickly. I feel like it's a little bit more... level playing field than Magic the Gathering, because of course, like, there's only so many cards. It's an LCG, right. And so you can't, like, just keep paying more money for cards in order to get the most awesome deck. So it's a little bit more level playing field that way. I dock it a couple points because it is so closely related to Magic. Like, the connection there, it just isn't an original idea. Which is fine, because they still do it really well. And then the only thing is I kind of wish it would have explained what an LCG was a little bit more clearly the first time we bought a set, because it took me way longer than it should have to realize that I needed to buy more sets of it in order to be able to build the pre-constructed decks. I bought the main set, and then I bought all of the expansions immediately, and then couldn't play with any of the expansions because you need, like, 2 or 3 sets of them.
Interesting.
Yep.
That was a whoops.
Fox Pixar in chat is asking what were our predictions for a Yogi Bear film. With a YouTube link, and, So someone come get your mans.
But the real question is, who's playing Yogi Bear? Because that makes...
I don't know, and I don't care to click on that YouTube link.
Don't blame you.
I wouldn't do that.
Thanks,
either.
Though.
Don't Thanks. Click on links.
Alyssa, what are your thoughts on Epic, the card game, as this is not a movie podcast?
Sure enough. As far as Epic goes, I would probably at least try it once. If it's similar to Magic, it probably wouldn't be that difficult to figure out. Since I've never played it, I don't know, mechanics-wise, if this game would make me mad or not. If it swings a lot, it might.
Yeah, no, I feel like you'd get salty.
So, I don't know. I like the art, so aesthetics wins. But, I mean, as you said, it's just another Magic game. So, I mean, if it's a little bit cheaper and it's a less of a sink as far as, like, money and time, mm-hmm. I'd probably play it over Magic, especially somebody who has a deck that is outdated for Magic. Because that's expensive.
Uh-huh.
Do you know, competitively, do their cards cycle out like Magic does?
Nope.
It doesn't. And they don't that's really kind of have nice. A competitive following either. Right. Like, they have kind of like a casual play event.
Right.
But they don't really have a competitive following.
I didn't think so, but I figured ask. That would be nice, though, if they did have a competitive option. You wouldn't have to worry about your cards aging out. That might change, but it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
So the game's been out for a few years, so I don't think they're...
Right.
Planning on implementing, like, a rotational format or anything. Yeah. But I also... And I don't have any evidence to back this, so I'll just clearly state that right now. But I feel like they're kind of trying to push Epic off. Like, we're done. We're moving on from this one.
Oh, that's possible.
Like, just get it out of our warehouses. Mm. So it's kind of hard to tell, but... You know, with considering White Wizard keeps developing great games, I think we'll see a continued pattern of, you know, they'll support it for this long and then just move on to something new.
Fair enough.
All right. Sorry, I am trying to check, like, 40 million different Discord servers right now.
Whoops.
Because life is hard.
Oh, I'm sorry, babe.
Struggling.
I'm just
struggling.
I'm just saying. I'm just trying to do the thing, you know?
What's the name of the guy who plays Deadpool? Why can't I think of it?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Nice. I couldn't remember it either. I'm bad at names.
Back to the Yogi Bear YouTube prediction, I was totally thinking, like, oh, you know.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds should be the voice of Yogi Bear.
That would, no, I refuse. No, Yogi Bear needs to be.
He did Detective Pikachu, so now he can be Yogi Bear.
No, Yogi Bear needs to be somebody that sounds exactly like Yogi Bear.
Can't you just imagine Ryan Reynolds trying to be like, hey, no. Be a picnic basket?
No.
And like, this is stupid. Why am I playing Yogi Bear?
I should be Yogi Bear.
Really bad. That'd be dope.
No!
That'd be so good, though.
Why are you guys picking these people with iconic voices?
Because it's funny!
Because that would make the movie worth seeing.
Yogi Bear, it wouldn't.
Snoop Dogg as Yogi Bear.
Hey, I'd die.
Give me your picnic basket.
Sniggity diggity, boo boo.
Right.
Sniggity diggity.
I would love it. So
faux shizzle, boo boo. No.
Like, the only bad option, I think, would be, like, Morgan Freeman, because that's nope. Way too distinguished.
That's
Yogi
my
Bear.
Dream casting now.
Oh, that's good.
I hate it. Anyway, Jackie, does Epic make you salty or not?
Oh, does it make me salty? That's a great question. I guess I would definitely put it at a 6 on the saltiness scale, because, as we've mentioned in this podcast before, with card games, there is just a certain amount of salt that can be built into it. And it is very similar to Magic the Gathering, which makes me very, very salty. But because it is more of a level playing field, I feel like it gets rid of some of the saltiness. So yeah, I'll put it as a 6. It'll make you a little salty, especially if you get super invested in the game or think that you have a super great play.
Yep.
Because even your super great plays, the other team probably has other super great plays as well.
Unacceptable.
It's so well balanced that I can see people getting salty over the... like, the fact that it's actually well-balanced.
Game's rigged and I hate it. I'm just kidding.
What?
I'm just kidding. It does make me a little bit salty, though. Because that's just the type of person I am.
Mm-hmm.
Still like it. Still will play it. But yeah, so yeah. Probably about 6-7. Just depends. Depends on the day. You know?
Yeah. I suppose. That's fair.
Alright. Alyssa, you don't get a say because you've never played it.
Show enough.
All right.
But you definitely make it like a 9.
Alyssa, have you played our next game?
Which one's the next game?
Welcome to the Dungeon.
I'm pretty sure I did. And I, because we played it at your guys' place once.
Maybe.
Did. Yeah.
We played it around like a 4th of July party I had or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was
well,
like one of like a bunch of games that we played, just like back to back.
Right. Yeah. Well, our next game on the list is Welcome to the Dungeon by Yellow. It's for 2 to 4 players, and it's basically a game of chicken. Players select a character that's going to adventure through the dungeon. Cards are drawn from the draw pile, and that player decides whether or not they're going to put that card in the dungeon or pass. Alternatively, players can set a card aside, but then they also must remove some of the character's equipment, making it harder to complete the dungeon. The last person in the game has to take the adventurer through the dungeon, and if they make it through, they get a glory, and if they fail, well, that just sucks. The first person to 3 glory wins. Thoughts on Welcome to the Dungeon, Alyssa?
I like the idea of the card game being a game of chicken. Not that I'm good at that. Right, exactly. Like, I like the idea of that, because I can't think of many games that are like that, where you're purposely trying. Like, I mean, most games are like, I want this other person to lose, but it's more like, no, I want this person to, like, think that they're going to fail, so they're just going to dip out. So, I like that mechanic a lot. Of course, aesthetics, as always. The game and the cards themselves and, like, the tiles and stuff are well made, which I really like. There's nothing that frustrates me more than getting, like, cardboard tiles or cards and stuff and then being, like, poorly made, especially if I paid money for them. It's frustrating. But I like the different options you have, and I like that there's different, like, little classes and stuff as well. It's also a quick game, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you figure out what freaks some of the other people out, then it gets real quick. I think my only concerns would be is just the size of the tiles. That would be my only concern with traveling, so I wouldn't say play it on a plane.
Yeah, no.
I would play it, like, at the hotel room, or if you're in a really long line.
Yeah.
Like, put it on the floor.
Exactly. It's not a play in transit type
no,
game.
No, it's not. Because, like, you could, I feel like you could probably figure out a way to play Epic in transit. But, like, this, she, you need all her bits.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have to have all the bits.
Yeah, you gotta have all the bits. So, I definitely wouldn't take it and play it outside of, like, stationary. But I enjoy the game a lot. And especially with games, I don't take quickly to games, honestly. So for me to pick up games pretty quickly, it's nice. And this game was, you know, really easy, which I like.
Yeah, it was super easy to explain. It's, yeah, once again, it's another one that's, as you can see, a small size, fits in a purse very easily. While we were at Omaha Comic Con, I taught Iggy's daughter to play it.
Aww.
So you can, 8-year-old daughter, so you can teach just about anyone this game. She was, right on the edge of what age group I think could handle it, because she had a little bit of difficulty with the interactions, and these tiles do have words on the bottom of them, and the words tell you how the equipment works as you move through the dungeon. And so that's something to kind of keep in mind when you're playing with younger players, is that you're probably going to have to explain what those things do, which does take away some of the sneakiness of, like, I'm going to remove this tile so whoever goes through it no longer has the Cloak of Invisibility.
Right.
Like, that kind of thing. Yeah, I also very much enjoy this game. I have played a couple different games that tried to emulate a Game of Chicken mechanic. This is the only one I've ever played that has done it well. Yeah. A lot of them really miss the mark, but this one it's right there. It's so easy to pick up. You have the different characters. They're very interesting. And you can play it with quite a few people, which is also nice. I mean, technically, you have to play with 4, but you could easily play with more, I think, without a problem. Sense. And actually, there's an expansion to this called Welcome Back to the Dungeon, and you can combine the two boxes and make it much easier to play with more people if you wanted to.
Nice.
Neat.
Yeah.
Okay, so... excuse me. All right. Live. Jackie, do you like it?
I do. I'm actually only going to give it a 6, though, because I like
it. I'm sorry. You just said you liked it.
I did.
What the fuck, Jackie?
Oh, hey, this is a family friend. I'm just kidding.
So I really like this game, and it is fun, and I do recommend it. It's the best game of chicken in board game form that I've ever played. However, it's just not one I'm going to pick up off the shelf very often. Like, it's very much an in-between game, or, like, for this, it's a travel game, something you can set out while you're waiting in line at Gen Con, or something you can play at the hotel very quickly before you go to bed. Like, it's a quick game. And I definitely consider it a staple, and I know that's kind of weird considering I gave it a 6, but it's just not one that I, like, crave. You know, I don't go, oh, you know what, Alyssa, you need to come over and we can play Welcome to the Dungeon.
That's because you like complicated games, Jackie.
Yes.
Yeah, Jackie, that's also because you have, like, 400 games that you've never played.
I only have 6 on this shelf that I haven't played.
Whatever. Anywho.
How much do you like it, Alyssa?
Well, I like it. So I'm going to put it at an 8.
Okay.
I'm going to put it at an 8. I really like the chicken mechanic a lot. Exactly. I do kind of wish there was a way to play this with only 2 people, but then it kind of loses the... Like, there's not really, it's somebody chickens out, and then there you go, that's it. That's the round.
Yeah.
So I kind of get why you can't play it with fewer people.
Well, technically you can play it with 2, and I have, but it's definitely almost more of a staring contest. Like, you barely look at the cards, and you're like...
Right. Okay, fair enough.
It becomes a very quiet game when it's 2 people.
I bet. So, I think other than that, I don't know. I don't know if I would play it. Honestly, I say it's an 8. I don't know if I would play it that often either, but mostly because if I'm going to play games at home, I'd rather play, like, small card games. I feel like this would be a good party game, though. Like, you could throw it down a table, teach a bunch of people, bunch of people who have never played war games, probably, too. The art's cute, mechanics are simple. I feel like it'd be a decent, like, party game. Or if you've got, like, roommates and you want to do, like, a game night or something, that'd be a good option.
Definitely. Yeah, or, like, friends.
What are those?
What's a friend?
I don't know.
You know.
Life's hard.
It's alright. it's whatever. It's like a 4.
You give it a 4?
Yeah.
Wow. Why?
It's just whatever.
I'm judging Jackie more because she said she liked it and scored
right,
it 6.
Like that makes sense.
I'm judging that less.
To me, anything above a 5 is a like it.
Well, you can, anyway.
5 is like eh.
4 is like eh. Because I've played the game. I played the game exactly one time. That was enough.
What?
It's just whatever. Like, who cares? That's how I felt playing that game. Not once was I like, oh my god, this is great. I'm having so much fun. It was whatever.
Yeah. Fair.
Alright. Does it make you salty?
Yeah, I probably would only put it on as like a 3 or a 4 on the saltiness scale. Maybe a 4, because it is a game of chicken, so, like, there is the potential that you could just trick someone into going into the dungeon. Like, there was one round that I played where somebody took the equipment that I knew I needed to get through there based on what I put in the dungeon, and so they took that piece of equipment, and I was just like, pass, and then everybody passed, so the person who took the equipment had to go through it.
Ha!
They were a little salty because they really weren't intending to go through that dungeon.
Got him.
Yep.
Alyssa, does it make you salty?
Nah, not really.
All right, cool.
Yeah, too cute. Yeah.
It makes me 100 on the salty scale. I'm just kidding. No, but Jackie's right because I think I may have been. No, it was Michael that was the one that was tricked. I think, but...
Ooh, got him.
Yeah.
This is one of the only games I can consistently beat Michael at.
Yeah.
Impressive.
She's proud of herself.
I am, because I can usually tell he has a little bit of a tell when he's getting ready to pass, and then I pass first.
Ha.
More like you pass gas. Ayo, zinger! Beep, 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 beep! Beep, 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 beep. I need to get that on my soundboard.
The air horn?
Beep, 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 beep.
Meeple Skills. We're the most mature podcast ever.
Showing up.
All right. What's next? Oh, yes. Okay. So, that was Welcome to the Dungeon. Our third and final
game? It is the final board game.
Yeah, wowee.
All right. Third and final game, Rick and Morty. Total Rickall from Cryptozoic Games. Is for 2 to 5 players, includes 2 modes of play, cooperative and a social deduction style game. Co-op consists of having 6 cards on the table face up, characters, this was terribly written. I'm going to redo this.
That happens.
I didn't do it.
The co-op consists of having 6 character cards on the table face up, and then putting face down designation cards underneath them. On the player's turns, they use 1 of 3 action cards in hand to figure out which characters are parasites and which ones are real.
I like.
Are we talking over me? That's rude.
Sorry.
And also, okay.
There you go.
The audio is going to be terrible on that, but that's fine.
It's live.
Well, I understand that's live, but like, anyway. Oh yeah, so 1 of 3 action cards to figure out which characters are parasites and which ones are real. Players spend their turns figuring out characters' designation, or dignation, and shooting the parasites. If you shoot too many real characters, you lose, and if you kill all the parasites, you win. And the number of characters and parasites varies on the number of players. And the social deduction mode has each person take on the identity of a character, and then they're assigned whether they're real or a parasite. And then you attempt to figure out who is a parasite and shoot them. So, and our dog has joined us, and she is very cute and fluffy.
Joined the party.
She really, really wants to give Alyssa a kiss.
Yes, she does.
Give her the kiss.
Don't do
the
it.
Kiss.
Don't do it.
Give the kiss.
Don't do it, Afro. Don't do it. There you go.
There you go. Okay, so Total Rickall. Jackie, what are your thoughts?
They set his dog down.
Okay. It is... It's a good game. It's definitely a party game. I enjoy it partially because, yes, replayability, partially because it's got at least 2 different modes of play. You can play it cooperatively, or you can play it trying to shoot each other as kind of a social deduction game.
Yeah, I already said that part.
Yeah. And so I really enjoy that aspect of it a lot because it's, you know, small, can easily fit in your purse, doesn't have very many components, and yet... you can do different modes with it. So that's pretty cool. It's also a lot of fun, because it's almost as much fun to lose Rick and Morty Total Recall as it is to win it. Because they're just, these are so ridiculous. The cards are super ridiculous. And, like, one of Ethan's favorite is Photography Raptor. He giggles like a little girl every time Photography Raptor comes out.
It's true.
It's always funny when Photography Raptor is not a parasite and you get to keep him till the end. So, but they have ridiculous names in here, like Pin Sylvester and Homeless Puppet, which looks surprisingly like Oscar the Grouch. Ghost in a Jar. Yeah.
I like Tiny Cowboy on a Dog.
Tiny Cowboy on a Dog.
I appreciate him.
Yeah, and then you play action cards, as Ethan mentioned, each turn, and they allow you to either take a look at what the card is or shoot someone.
Jonah?
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah, it's a very simple game, and both modes are very simple to learn, very simple to play. The rule book isn't even very big or very thick. And then, of course, there's videos available online if you were confused on anything. How about you, Alyssa? What do you think?
I mean, first of all, I like that episode of Rick and Morty. It's a good episode. I like the game. Like, I'll play it, but, like, I don't know. I'd rather play other games first.
What?
Oh, I know. Like, if we had enough people, like, if the majority wanted to play it, okay, we'll play it. Or if I don't trust everybody at this point in the party to touch the rest of the games, then we'll play it. Because at least this one is easily replaceable. Because, I mean, this is in, like, just regular retail stores. Like, yeah. Pretty commonly. Because, I mean, you could find it at Target or, like, Walmart even at this point.
Exactly.
And, I mean, some there's a lot more board games that are, but I wouldn't be upset if I had to either replace it or just not replace it at all.
You have a very strange criteria you use.
It's completely arbitrary.
Clearly.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to fight you here because I would play this game all the time because it cracks me up to no end. So, did we talk about its similarities to the Rick and Morty episode very much?
We didn't really.
Okay, because it's like, it's great. And I think there's a few that don't really show up in the episode, like characters.
I think there are a couple.
Well, I think they're all in the episode. It's just that some of them don't have very big parts.
Regardless.
Like, right, they're there, but
yeah, they never say anything.
Right.
But yes, there's a lot of great ones. Again, my Photography Raptor's the best character, hands down. When I was watching that episode and Photography Raptor shows up, I laughed like a stoned college dude. And I was completely stone cold sober. So, like, not even a drop of alcohol in my system. And I lost it. So, that's the type of absurd humor that I really enjoy. So that makes me like the game. I also like that if you feel like being silly, you can just kind of play the game loose and do whatever you want. So, like, we played one round where I just shot everybody every chance I had. And I think we lost, but
we did, because there was lots of real people in there.
Right, and so we still had a blast, though, because every time it rolled over to my turn, I'm like, I'm going to shoot it.
And everybody else was like, no!
Right, rather than trying to do the right thing and figure out who is fake first. Shoot first, ask questions later.
He was Zap Brannigan.
I got a couple of the parasites.
You did. It was so funny because, like, at first you were actually dead on.
Yeah.
If I remember right for that one, there's six on the board. Three of them were real and three of them were parasites. And you hit the first two right away without even looking. And Michael and I are like, hey, this might not be so bad because we knew which ones were which. And then he just kept shooting.
Yep.
I'm like, stop.
Yep.
Yep. So, no, I like it a lot. Okay. Saltiness.
Honestly, I put this at, like, a 2 on the saltiness scale. Like, it really, it's so freaking goofy. I think it's too hard to get too angry at it, honestly. Like, I just can't see myself, like, being like, oh, no, you killed a real person instead of a parasite. Because it's so goofy. And the real card could be under, like, Mrs. Refrigerator.
Right.
It's like, that's not real.
No. Same thing. It's There's not really anything to get mad about either. Like, even with the, like, wild card player shooting everything, even then it's like, cool.
It's like, we're going to lose, but whatever.
You're like, I've accepted this. I don't need to win because we're all going to lose. It's not I'm going to lose. Everyone loses.
Exactly.
So we're in this together.
And even on the social deduction game part of it, I think the ridiculousness of it, like, prevents you from getting too mad.
Right.
Because you just each get, whether or not you're a real person or you're a parasite, and so you all try to figure out who's who, and then you shoot each other. But one of the advantages to the social deduction thing is that you get to draw a new card, so you're not out, and then it's just, like, the first person to reach three successes wins or something like that.
Okay.
It's kind of nice that it isn't just, like, pick people off.
Right.
All right, so that, any final thoughts on Total Recall?
Yeah, once again, picked it because it's very portable. Also could be played really well in line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's like less than $15 or something, so as Alyssa pointed out, very replaceable.
Yes.
Some of these quotes on some of these cards are good.
Yeah, read one.
So for Amish Cyborg, it says, "Remember it, Rick." And then, Big Duck. "Wow, Baby Wizard was a parasite? He set me up with my wife." I don't know Big Duck's life, but show enough.
Show enough, Big Duck.
Show enough, Big Duck.
Story of my life. All right, well, okay, so that does it for our travel game reviews. So we are going to jump into the RPG corner, where I'm going to talk about Overlight by Renegade Games.
This is the role-playing game corner.
A fantastical setting, completely new races and classes, very much nothing like, well, I shouldn't say nothing, but very dissimilar from Dungeons & Dragons or any of your high fantasy role-playing games. It's exploration-based system, more so than a battle or dungeon crawl. The idea is that the Overlight is this magical resource and star that gives abilities to these starborn creatures of the shards, and each shard is further away from the light, so they all have varying levels of access to the Overlight. And players play as Starborn from any race, so their corresponding shard. So already we're in this sort of intricately created fantasy setting with no basis in any other media that I'm aware of. So your entire understanding of the setting has to come from the rulebook. And it seems to be a system very heavily based on the setting, so you can't realistically apply it to multiple settings, and I'm hesitant about that. Dice rolls work off each person assigning a die to a characteristic. Then you roll three of those dice and three dice of the skill and a d4, so the dice rolling system's also convoluted. Anything over a 6 is a hit, on a 4 on the d4 is a crit, and it counts as an additional hit. And if you have more successes than the opponent's opposing rolls, the opponent takes damage or gives into your persuasion or whatever it was you were trying to do. It's very roleplay heavy, and probably wouldn't recommend it for new game masters. I would never ever recommend it as a first time roleplaying game. And the artwork is beautiful, and definitely a break from the ordinary, something completely different, and it's interesting, but it has, again, this sort of complex yet interesting setting. So if that's something you're into, definitely go for it. But it's hard to be introduced to something if you have no other frame of reference. So again, where your only real resource is the rule book and, you know, the subsequent books coming out for this setting, you're kind of screwed on the game overall because the entire game is based on this Overlight setting. The contrast to that being, again, Dungeons and Dragons, Starfinder, whatever, you know, they also have their own settings, but it's a lot easier to place your own things in there and or build it up from scratch or whatever. I just don't feel like this game really allows for it. If you are a veteran role-playing game player and have played all kinds of different systems and love reading a rule book and learning of a new setting and going from there and convoluted dice rolls and weird lack of combat, go for it. And let me know how it goes. And maybe I'll play in a game that you're running, but I'm not going to pick this one up myself, personally. Okay, that was my RPG corner. Jackie now has a crowdfunding highlight.
I do, and I had to change it because, of course, the one that I used on Omaha Comic Con, of course, has ended now.
The Kickstarter highlight.
And so I found this Kickstarter yesterday, and it is for a board game called Tasty Humans.
Oh.
Yep, Tasty Humans. It is so freaking cute. So Tasty Humans is for, I want to say, 2 to 4 players. It is created by... Sorry, I'm looking at the Kickstarter right now, actually.
Live.
Live. I'm looking at it live.
Live from my basement.
Yeah, basically. It's weird. Usually they have that listed much easier to find. Because I know it's... Okay, so it's for 1 to 4 players. They call it a puzzle-solving tile placement board game. The tagline is, become a monster, eat villagers. And I know that kind of how it works is you eat the villagers, and the villagers are on these little bars, and they have different items that are on them. So you'll get to decide how those items sit in your monster's stomach. And to backtrack a little bit, each person picks a different monster. So, like, someone's a dragon, and someone's a griffin, and, like, all those monsters that eat people. Hydras, whatever. And so you decide how these things sit in the stomach. So it actually becomes kind of a Tetris game, and you're trying to get certain things to line up. And there's a very specific tile that has, like, a placement, like, hand on it. And you actually score based on the certain things that are next to that particular tile. So it's not quite like Tetris where it's like, I lined up everything on the bottom. I think you have different goals. And I think like one of them, the goal is to make sure that it's all different stuff around the item in the stomach. And then a different one is to have all of the same and like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you have kind of these little goals within. But yeah, that is Tasty Humans.
How long is it on Kickstarter for?
It is on Kickstarter for 5 more days. It is already funded. It had a goal of 8,000, and it is at 14,419. It has 570 backers, and at the base price, it is $25. So it's also a very affordable one to pick up.
All right, so... If that is something you're into, eating people, cannibalism, or otherwise freakishness.
You're a monster when you're eating people.
Right.
So it makes it okay then, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah. It is on Kickstarter as Tasty Humans or Tasty Humans the Board Game. You can Google those and find out more.
Don't tell me what to do.
Go find out more.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have been at it for, 47 minutes? We've got some time to kill.
Oh, that's true. For this one, since it was supposed to be done live, one of the things I was going to add to this one in particular was if we had time, which in the original recording we did not. We were running right up against time. We were going to discuss... our saltiest gaming moments. So the gaming moments that you're almost embarrassed to talk about because you had a salty moment.
Does this count for tabletop, or are we talking specifically board games?
We could do tabletop since we cover all of it.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
You mean like role-playing games?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Jackie, so I'm going to be honest. I've had so many salty moments, I can't even I can't even narrow it down to one. So I'm just going to tell my favorite about Jackie.
Oh, thanks.
When she threw her magic cards at me. I want to remind you, we were adults. We were playing Magic, and she cast a big old Dargon. And I didn't like that, so I counterspelled it for 3 mana. And it was the easiest thing I'd ever done. She got real mad and literally picked up her deck of cards and threw it at me.
So what you're saying, though, is you got more cards.
Well, they were my cards.
Oh, well, so you returned his cards to him.
Exactly.
Violently.
I aggressively returned his deck to him after I no longer wanted to play.
Yeah, she's like, well, fuck you! And then just, nyarum, and then...
He was winning. He was winning anyway, and my only goal for the game was to get my dragon out.
Because yeah, and the only way I would have beat that dragon was by countering it. Yeah, so anyway, I had to stop her and be like, okay, is this how, you know, I don't know how old you were at the time, 22, something like that. Is this how 22-year-old women react to adversity? And apparently the answer is yes.
I feel like if we threw our magic cards at people who irritate us more often, we'd have less issues.
I'd have a lot less money, though, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd be down like 10 grand.
Ethan would be out of money.
Yeah.
I don't have any magic cards to throw at people that are worth anything, so hey.
Alyssa,
all the comments.
Alyssa, what's your saltiest moment?
I think for gaming, I remember we were playing Catan.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's always a bad
one. This is what made me salty, though, because the last game I won, and I stomped. So I was like, yo, I'm feeling good. We've been having some drinks, so I'm feeling great. Like, I just won the heck out of this. So I'm about to stomp these fools again. No. I couldn't do shit the entire game. I had 3 wool, and I had a brick the entire game. And everyone's like, anybody want to trade some wood for anything? And I'm like, I would love to if I fucking had any. That's cool. Whatever. And then my boyfriend proceeded to win Longest Road, and... Was it the Knights one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he won. If there was a special thing to win at the end of the game, Rory won every single one. And I was so mad, I didn't play another game after that.
What a jerk.
Sorry.
And thus began Alyssa's hatred for Catan.
Yeah, fuck Catan.
Yeah. Yeah, you definitely have a character. But oh, I did just realize after you were saying that there's totally an opportunity to make a Catan After Dark. Because it's the Knights, so you could have Longest Road and Longest Night.
Stop it.
Longest Night.
Just fucking stop it right now.
It's
hilarious. No.
Did you get it?
No.
I get the joke.
Longest Road could be the Longest Rod.
On that note, that is all the time we have for today.
Wait a minute. I didn't get to say one. Oh, well.
Okay, fine.
I mean, I think...
Quit talking about what you're talking about, you can say one salty story.
But also, I wanted to mention, I finally found the publisher for Tasty Humans, and it's Pangea Games.
Oh.
Pangea Games, making Tasty Humans on Kickstarter now for the next 6 days.
Yeah, but you can only get it on one continent.
Yes. Ha! That was clever. How come you can make funny jokes and I'm not allowed to make funny jokes?
Because you're just making dirty jokes.
It was fun.
On not our own Twitch channel.
I'm sure they're fine with it.
I'm sure anyway. So what was your salty story?
So I once threw my cards at Ethan.
Dang it, Jackie. You're supposed to be a different story.
Seriously.
I know. I'm sorry. I know I have others. I'm trying to remember the other really good one I had.
Gen Con.
Oh, yeah. So this one is actually kind of funny and a little bit...
rude.
Beyond that too. I'd like to preface this by saying I love my husband very much. So while we were at Gen Con, we went to the Hot Games Room. We'd never been to Gen Con before, and I was like, Hot Games Room from Board Game Geek, this is gonna be the best!
Yeah, it was not a swingers club like I thought it was.
Ah, yeah, sorry about that. Family event.
The Hot Game Room.
Ah!
It's see. I thought it would be like hot, sweaty. Yoga. Yeah, exactly. Like everybody
was gonna. That was the entirety of Gen Con.
That was.
That's the TCG room.
Yeah.
Woo!
Ew.
Anyways.
Love it.
So anyway, so we're playing games and we get through the first two and everything's fine. We go to the third game and I chose Reef because everybody kept describing it as a relaxing game. I have learned that if people are telling you it is a relaxing game, you definitely need to double check, because so far I've only had one game that people told me was relaxing and meditative in nature. That actually was. Reef was not one of them. So we're playing Reef, and it is one of those where it has very simple rules, but then very, very strategic gameplay. And it is very pretty because you build it up. It's a little reef, and you put the pieces on and they hook together. And then you have these goals that you have, and the goals are very specific. Like sometimes you have to have all of the colors on a certain height. Usually it goes by which ones are on top, so you have to have them in the right configuration, and all these things. And at first, I was stomping everybody. But then everybody else figured out how to play, and then they were catching up to me, and it was very annoying. Anyway, we get to the end of the game, and I did not win. Was it Michael that won? I'm pretty sure it was Michael.
Yes.
Michael won. I think I was second.
Yes.
And I had started...
Because he had, like, 50 points, you had, like, 30-something, and I had, like, 10.
Oh!
Yeah, yeah. So I started... I had literally started putting mine away... And Michael grabs my, what's left of my tokens, because you use the tokens to keep track of your victory points. He takes my tokens, and I was like, that's weird, and I'm like continuing to put stuff away. But I had already, and to this day I swear, I literally had already started putting some of mine away. He was counting my tokens, he was double checking my math, and then he's like, Jackie, this is like 27 or something like that, and I was like, I had already started putting stuff away, and I kind of lost it, because I was kind of a little bit hangry. We hadn't eaten in a while. Dang. So I would like to admit that I was hangry. But the part of the story that gets mad wasn't the part that I yelled at Michael for double-checking my math. It was that the whole way to the restaurant from the board game room, I yelled at Ethan about it.
What did he do?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He did absolutely nothing, and I yelled at Ethan the whole way from Gen Con.
Oh, not only that, she stormed off yelling at me, to like, and she like put the game, and then just like, boom, out the room, and I just looked at Michael like, you son of a bitch.
You're like, how
this is your fault!
I'm more impressed that he somehow magically shifted the aggro from himself to you without actually saying anything to Jackie.
He didn't do anything.
I'm impressed.
Michael didn't do a damn thing.
I'm not even like, tank specced.
To like get rid of it, I just started yelling at Ethan, like, Jesus.
I know.
And,
poor Ethan.
Like, it was hanger. Like, hanger is bad. People, if you're going to a convention, don't allow yourself to get hangry. That is my word of advice.
Yeah, bring snacks. Convention food's expensive.
It is so expensive. So.
Well, that is our saltiness stories. We're hitting it about an hour. Critical Role's going live.
Oh, dang.
So we're not going to get any viewers now.
No.
So thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow Project Nerd here on Twitch. You can follow them, or make sure, just go to the Patreon and give us your money so you can get more podcasts and stuff like this and some better ones. Not many,
no,
but...
what? There are no better podcasts.
Like I said, not a lot. Project Nerd's all over every social media. You can check the description of the channel down below. You can follow me on the internet, Instagram and Twitter at NerdMeat, NerdMeat Gaming on Facebook, and twitch.tv/NerdMeat_ for my personal... Twitch channel, which I stream on Sundays and Wednesdays. Jackie, do I, you can, but before we do Jackie, the podcast can be found on Twitter at MeepleSkillsPod and Instagram at MeepleSkills. Jackie, do you know your Twitter handle?
I am the at, or not the, just at Lucky Halfling on Twitter.
There it is.
And Also, the Lucky Halfling on Twitch, but I don't actually stream, so there's that. But if you tune in to Project Nerd Blog again on Saturday at 10:30, I will be running the next episode, which is only episode 2 of Basement Dwellers. And we just bought a Switch, and we just got it today, so we'll be streaming Switch Nintendo games.
What games do we have? We have Zelda, which is single player.
Yeah. Well, we'll be purchasing a game for multiplayer, but you'll just have to log in to find out what we will be playing on the Switch.
Okay. Well, I'd like to find
out.
On
the Switch Twitch.
I'd like to find out.
Oh, okay.
Alyssa.
That's me.
Where can people find you on the interwebs?
Still mostly the gram. I can't stand Twitter. Minty Fresh Gaming on Instagram, and then twitch.tv/mintyfreshlove. We're streaming. We just had a very traumatic showing of Detroit Become Human.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, it was.
I
made all the wrong choices. Bully. I could. That was great. We're gonna play it again, but not anytime soon. That was
how do you recover from that?
Yeah, I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, that last episode, she was a rough one.
Yep. I was at work. You're a brat.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I love it. Well,
yeah.
All right, that does it for us here at Meeple Skills, only on the Project-Nerd Podcast Network. Check it out. Go to Patreon. Give us your money. Have a great night.
Night.